I could recall moments where I would get on the bandstand, and at the height of our at our best, in playing, it felt like something else was controlling the music, maybe, and so I started to kind of, maybe just conceptualize a suite where I could generate that feeling for myself and for my band.
Everybody, it's Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com, and welcome to another episode of Around Town. And I am very excited to be joined by Emmanuel Wilkins. He is coming into town, Constellation, March 28th. He is on a tour, actually, a release tour, we could call it, for his new recording, The Seventh Hand, available at emmanuelwilkins.com. Of course, tickets are available at constellation-chicago.com. Everything's linked up down below. And Emmanuel, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. We could talk, as we just spoke, we could talk for an hour about this entire recording and about everything you've been doing, but I'll try to keep it and keep it limited and keep it to the point so we can get the word out. But I really am going to encourage everybody before we even start talking. It's one thing to hear this on the recording. Then once we start talking about what the recording's about, then I think going to see it live is going to be a completely different experience. So just keep that in mind when we're talking about it. So let's talk about this recording. It's your second release, and it's on Blue Note. And The Seventh Hand, the first recording, it's almost like you're taking this as like another step from the first recording, if I read that correctly when I was reading up on the background of this. Is that right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I wonder if, yeah, somewhat of another step. I think there was like a small suite on my first recording. This one feels like a whole suite in and of itself. So maybe it is. Yeah, maybe it is kind of a development of maybe what I've been working on since the first album. So yeah.
Reading up on this, and I'm going to also encourage everybody because we're going to talk about it, but head over to emmanuelwilkins.com and read about The Seventh Hand because he goes in depth into each movement. So there's seven movements on here,
Yeah.
and it continuously builds, and then it gets to the seventh movement, which we'll get to, but really it's very spiritual, it seems, and you're a very spiritual guy, and it seems like you're trying to find different ways to bring music through your band as vessels, right? I mean, that's really the key goal, because listening to this, it's
Totally.
completely different than what I thought it was going to be when I read about it. I was like, okay, let's see what and then I was just like burning and it's like smoking. And I've heard different groups try to do things like this, but this is really, really a different sound, but it's really exciting, man. It's very
Thank
creative.
you.
So talk a little bit about, let's just talk about the concept behind The Seventh Hand and how you conceptualized it and how you started to put seven movements like this together.
Yeah, so I had no music when I came up with the idea. I just kind of thought of a I thought about experiences that I would have growing up on the bandstand or playing in church, and specifically maybe the kind of ethos around it came from being in church and watching people get caught up with the Holy Spirit or catch the Holy Spirit, and so I started to kind of investigate what that meant for me, and I realized that I wasn't like maybe outwardly displaying any of those kind of outward emotions or whatever, but I wondered if that was something that I was accessing through the music, because I would have. I could recall moments where I would get on the bandstand, and at the height of our at our best, in playing, it felt like something else was controlling the music, maybe, and so I started to kind of, maybe just conceptualize a suite where I could generate that feeling for myself and for my band, and I thought about improvisation as this kind of coded material and free improvisation as maybe a perfect place for that to happen. So the way the suite works is basically seven movements. Each piece kind of has less and less written material, more improvised material, leading up to the seventh movement, which is completely improvised.
It's interesting you say that because I'm a musician. I know we have a lot of different musicians watching this, all levels, along with a lot of music jazz fans. And, you know, it's almost like it's one step after another, right? As a musician, you're trying to first just learn the scales, learn how to even function around on your instrument. Then you're learning tunes and you're learning how to play with people. So, and then you keep getting more and more and more. And then you're trying to find your own voice, trying your own sound. And once you find your voice, find your own sound, to your point, when you're on the bandstand, you're not thinking anymore. It's stuff's flowing through you. And the way you just explained it with like in a church, you know, you see people like all of a sudden, they're just like, not, you know, they're just in some other space.
Yeah.
I think that that's a great way to describe this because, you know, when you hear you play on this, you can tell everybody's together, but as I know from reading this, there's not a lot of written music. So there's a lot of improvisation, but you wouldn't know that because everybody's kind of on the same level. How hard is that? Because I know you've been with the same guys for a while. Is that, this is kind of like, you couldn't have done this like the first 5 months of playing with these guys, I'm sure, right? This is a step-by-step process.
Yeah, totally, totally. I think I wrote this music because I felt like we needed another step to how we were as a band and the evolution of us as a band. I felt like this was a good place that would push us to that next level, you know, and be something that maybe we necessarily couldn't access off, you know, off rip, you know. So yeah, I mean, I think also when I was writing this music, I was living with my drummer Kwaku, Micah, the piano player, was sleeping on my couch at the time. So we were all kind of around the music as I was writing it. So they were, I mean, like really on the ground level. And I think that's also what kind of contributes to like just the vulnerability we can even have on stage. This music wasn't even like maybe formally presented to them. You know, it was kind of something that was in their orbit, you know, for months before they even got the sheet music or even dealt with it. So I think that sort of involvement in the process really kind of is conducive for, you know, lots of creativity and vulnerability in something like, you know, trying to dedicate yourself to that or even like release yourself to that sort of rigor of that seventh movement where we're just kind of improvising for however long we, you know, it feels right.
Well, and, you know, talking a little bit about that, let's talk about, you know, I've had different people on the show and we've talked about like spontaneous composition, right? And, and that kind of happening. But I think you wrote little frameworks of most of the movements. How in depth did you get, like from a conceptual standpoint and from an arranging standpoint, even on each movement before you just said, we're just going to throw ideas around and it's going to go somewhere. And then, you know, like my question, I guess, is like at the beginning of all the movements, there's got to be a framework of the tune. And then you take off of that. And then I think some of the movements, you come back to where the themes were. How did you decide how much you had to write or how much you didn't have to write?
Yeah. So pretty much it works like kind of, not additively, but whatever the opposite of additively is, subtractatively.
That's
not, you know, but so basically the first movement is, I'd say maybe 80% written. There's a saxophone solo that happens over the form of the first section. And then there's a piano solo that happens. And then we play the head out. The second piece is no solos at all. It's all written. And then from there they kind of subtract work away. So the third movement is pretty much all written, but the last section is open, you know. Then the fourth one is like we're pretty much kind of soloing all the time and also playing the melody all the time, you know. And then by the sixth movement is pretty much like we play maybe four or five bars and then we just solo, you know. And then there's like a little section that leads us into the seventh movement. On the seventh movement, all I have written is one note. And so essentially there's zero things that are written for us to play. You know, it's kind of just we take off from that one note and however we end it, we end it.
Well, and I think it's interesting the way you describe it too, because that last movement can, I think it's 24, 25 minutes on the recording, but sometimes when you're playing it, it could be 45 minutes or it could be 10. It just kind of depends on what's happening. Right. I mean, but the whole piece is leading up to that seventh movement, if I got it correct. And so you're, it's almost like you guys are you're starting to, it's almost like, to your point, being in church, right? You walk into church, you're sitting down, and then things start to go on, and then all of a sudden, yeah, later on, the Spirit starts to come through you. I mean, that's pretty much what this is kind of conceptually heading towards, right? In the seventh movement.
Totally. You know, I was inspired, man. This writer Fred Moten wrote this thing about being in church and gospel music and the kind of idea of spirit possession in general. And he was talking about how people who attendees of a service, of a church service, can't help but to be filled. And I thought that was really interesting. It wasn't, it's not an action that we do. It's something that is enacted upon us. And so I kind of wanted to write like a piece of music that kind of happens upon you. You don't even have to do anything to it. You know, if almost like a conveyor belt that just generates that feeling, you know? Yeah. And so the seven movements become sort of like, especially when we're on tour planet, it's become some sort of ritual where like, we're kind of just, we're playing this thing and we're trusting that the music's going to take us where it needs to take us. We don't have to do anything necessarily to the music, which is great. You know, it's a cool feeling.
Yeah, no, I mean, so you're going to be able to hear all this, everybody watching this, March 28th, yep. Constellation-Chicago.com. Of course, it's 3111 Northwestern Avenue, EmmanuelWilkins.com to get the whole summary of what the Seventh Hand is, because that's what they're going to be playing that night. They're on a release tour. I saw you're doing a little Midwest run through. You're going to be in Kalamazoo and up in Madison and everywhere. So it's only going to grow as you get to Chicago, because the more you play this, I'm sure it just gets more and more intense. So I always like to bring that up to people that are going to come out and hear you. Now, just before I let you go, just so that we can talk about this, because I always like to preface things, especially when we're talking about free improvisation and such high level playing. I mean, you came up playing tunes, learning on the bandstand and everything else. So I always like to, for some of our younger musicians that are watching this, it took a long time for you to get to the point where you can play your instrument and play with other people the way you're playing on this recording, right? I mean, talk a little bit about maybe a couple of your influences that you know, maybe helped you along, but also, especially being out in Philly and up in New York and everything else, you had to be around a lot of the masters too. I mean, what were some of those influencers that maybe helped you along when you were younger to get to this point?
Yeah, totally. I think so. My biggest advice to young people whenever I'm talking just about, you know, how to get into music and how to stay in music, is you gotta like what you're doing. You gotta fall in love with it, you know. And what made me fall in love with the music was Kenny Garrett, right? Uh-huh. So when I first was started playing out, I was the biggest Kenny Garrett fanatic. I, you know, was transcribing all the Kenny stuff. So Kenny was a big influence. And then during that same period, my friend Justin Faulkner, who plays with Branford Marsalis, was like coming off the road and telling me like, man, you need to be checking out Lester Young, Ben Webster, Johnny Hodges. So those became kind of three of, you know, big early inspirations for me. Once I got into college, it was Ornette Coleman. He changed my life. Ornette, Benny Carter was another big influence on me. And then obviously the two masterminds, Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, obviously were a huge inspiration. Henry Threadgill is another big inspiration of mine. Chicago, you know, Chicago's finest. And then growing up, man, Odin Pope was around and still is around. He's a big mentor of mine. I mean, there's Bootsy Barnes, who just passed away, I think last year or 2 years ago. He was a big mentor of mine and a huge inspiration. I mean, there's so many people I could give it up to everywhere, but yeah, there's so many influences.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because I'm 51, right? So I came into this scene and listening to, I was introduced to jazz through Miles, but it was Miles like on the tutu recording, right? Because I was into funk and stuff like that. And then I went backwards, and it's similar to what you did. And also, totally. I mean, I'm sure you were inspired outside of jazz by a ton of different styles of music. And it's these generations now that there's so many influences that when you're playing and you're writing and you're doing things like the Seventh Hand, you're drawing from the inspirations of jazz, but also all these other musical styles that you're influenced by just because you're growing up in the 80s, the 90s. I mean, it's all around you, right? I mean, and absolutely, that's how you develop your voice.
Yeah, totally. You know, I think, and things that are like extra musical, man, food, you know, clothes, media, whatever, movies, you know, whatever's happening, you know, even, I mean, just what's happening in the world, you know, Trump, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's just like so much stuff is just like, even just affecting your subconscious, even if it's not, you know, your front of mind, you know, even if it's not your conscious mind, you know, all of this is affecting the music. And I think that's why everyone says that like music is like kind of a timeline. You can trace, you know, every decade of jazz music is, you know, traceable by the sound and by what was going on, you know, in that era, you know. Mm-hmm. I really think it is that even if we don't try to do it, you know, even just on a quantum level, it's kind of packed in there just in what we're doing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to naturally come out. And you brought up the subconscious. I mean, everybody's sucking so much stuff in. And yeah. I think to your point, though, for the younger musicians and to be a musician and to be on this level, you got to block a lot of stuff out and focus on your instrument, which means you have to really love what's going on and put the distractions aside to
that's true.
Really understand how to play. And then all the other stuff can come in as you want it to, which, you know, I love that. I think you're right on. I'm glad we talked a little bit about that, too. So, all right. Yeah. So I'm going to tell everybody they need to head over Constellation, March 28th. Of course, EmmanuelWilkins.com linked up below. Go get this recording and then read it and then go see Emmanuel on March 28th over at Constellation. Thank you so much for jumping on today, Emmanuel. I really appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
I know everybody loved listening to your explanation about it, and they need to go check it out on your website too. As I always tell everybody, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. All things Chicago Jazz on chicagojazz.com. And until next time, hopefully I will see you all somewhere out on the scene.